296. Jesus preaches at Era. 7th October 1945. Jesus is speaking in the main square at Era.
And I am not going to tell you, as I did elsewhere, the first and essential things you must know and do to be saved. You know them very well, through the work of Timonus, a wise head of the synagogue of the old law, who is now most wise, because he renews it in the light of the new law. But I want to warn you against a danger which you cannot see in your present state of mind. The danger of being diverted by pressure and insinuations aiming at detaching you from the faith you have now in me. I will leave Timonus with you for some time. And with other disciples he will explain to you the words of the book in the new light of my truth which he has embraced. But before leaving you, and after scanning your hearts and seeing that they are willing, humble and sincere in their love, I want to comment with you upon the point of the fourth book of Kings. When Hezekiah, king of Judah, was attacked by Sermatrib, the three great men of the hostile king came to him to terrorize him, pointing out to him the alliances which had been broken off, and the armies which were already surrounding him. Eliakim, Shebna and Joah replied to the words of the powerful messenger saying, "Speak to us in such a way that the people may not understand you, so that the terrorized people might not ask for peace." But that was what the messengers of Sennacherib wanted, and at the top of their voices they said in perfect Hebrew, "Do not let Hezekiah delude you. Do with us what is useful to you, and surrender and every one of you will eat the fruit of his own vine, and of his own fig tree, and drink the water of his own cistern until we come and deport you to a country like your own, a land of corn and good wine, a land abounding in bread and vineyards, a land of olive trees, of oil and of honey, and you will live, and will not die. And it is written." The people did not reply, because the king had ordered them not to reply. Now, out of pity for your souls besieged by forces which are even fiercer than those of Sermatrib, who was able to harm bodies, but could not damage souls, whereas war is declared to your souls by a hostile army led by the fiercest and most cruel despot there is in creation, I prayed his messengers, who, in order to damage me through you, endeavor to terrorize both me and you threatening dreadful punishments, I prayed saying, "Speak to me only. But leave in peace the souls which are now being born to the light. Vex me, torture me, accuse me, kill me, but do not rage against these children of the light. They are still weak. One day they will be strong. But now they are weak. Do not be merciless towards them. Do not be merciless against the freedom of souls, to choose their own way. Do not be pitiless towards the right of God of calling to himself those who seek him in their simple love. But can one who hates yield to the prayer of him whom one hates? Can one seized by hatred know what love is? No. So with fiercer harshness and cruelty they will come and say to you, 'Do not let the Christ delude you. Come with us, and you will have all good things.' And they will say to you, 'Woe betide you, if you follow him. You will be persecuted.' And they will urge you with insincere kindness, 'Save your souls. He is Satan.' They will say so many things against me, to persuade you to abandon the light. I say to you, reply to the tempters with your silence. When the strength of the Lord descends into the hearts of those who believe in Jesus Christ, the Messiah and Savior, then you will be able to speak, because you will not speak, but the very Spirit of God will speak through your lips, and your souls will be firm in grace, strong and invincible in faith. Be persevering. That is all I ask of you. Remember that God cannot agree to the witchcraft of his enemy. Let your sick people, those who have been comforted, and whose souls have received peace, speak among you, only through their presence, of him who came among you to say to you, 'Persevere in my love, and in my doctrine, and you will receive the kingdom of heaven.' My works speak even more than my words, and although it is perfect blessedness, to be able to believe without the need of any proof, I let you see the wonders of God, so that you may be fortified in your faith. When your intelligence is tempted by the enemies of the light, reply to them with the words of your souls, 'I believe because I have seen God in his works.' Reply to the enemies by means of an act of silence. And with those two replies, proceed towards the light. May peace be always with you."
And he dismisses them, and then leaves the square.
"Why did you speak so little to them, Lord? Timonus might be disappointed.
says Nathaniel.
He will not, because he is just, and he understands that to warn one of a danger is to love one with greater love. That danger is really present.
Always the Pharisees, eh?
Asks Matthew.
Those, and others.
Are you downhearted, Lord?
Asks John worriedly.
No. Not more than usual.
And yet you were happier during the past days.
It may be sadness due to the absence of the disciples. But why did you send them away? Do you perhaps wish to go on traveling?
Asks the Iscariot.
No. This is the last place. We will go home from here. But it was not possible for the women to proceed in this weather. They have done a great deal. They must do no more.
And what about John?
John is ill and is in a hospitable house, as he were.
Jesus then takes leave of Timonus and other disciples who will be remaining in that area and to whom he has certainly given instructions for the future because he does not give any further advice. They are at the door of Timonus's house because Jesus wanted to bless the landlady once more. The crowds look at him respectfully and follow him when he sets out again towards the outskirts, the vegetable gardens and the open country. The more persevering people follow him for a little while, in a group which becomes thinner and thinner, until only 9 people are left, then 5, 3, finally 1. And the last one too, turns round and goes back to Era, while Jesus walks westwards, with only the 12 apostles, because Hermas remained with Timonus. Jesus says,
And the journey, the second long apostolic journey is over. We now go back to the well-known countryside of Galilee. Poor Mary, you are more exhausted than John of Ender. I authorize you to omit the descriptions of the places. We have given so much to curious searchers. And they will always be curious searchers. Nothing else. That is enough now. Your strength is diminishing. Keep it for the word. I notice the uselessness of so much labor of yours, with the same spirit with which I noticed the uselessness of so much of my toil. That is why I say to you, spare yourself for the word. You are the mouthpiece. Oh, one must really repeat for you the saying. We played the pipes for you and you would not sing. We sang dirges, and you would not be mourners. You repeated my words only, and difficult doctors turned up their noses. You added your descriptions to my words, and they find faults with them. And they will find more to object. And you are worn out. I will tell you when you are to describe the journey. I, and no one else. I have struck you for almost 1 year. But before the year is over, do you wish to rest once again on my heart? Come then, little martyr.